Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? Hey, all right, it's that day, man. It's Wednesday, it's hump day. That's right, it's hump day, and welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and man, do I have a show for you today. I'm telling you, I got some surprises for you. I'm telling you, today is going to be off the chain. That's right, today is going to be so good. I even brought some jazz in for you to listen to. Y'all know what I mean? Yes. So I hope y'all ready. I hope you're ready because I know I am. I want to welcome everybody to this show. You know, those in the chat room at present time and those that's listening on your different devices, welcome, and I do appreciate your support. All right, so let's get to it, man. If you want to... There's a whole two or three ways that we can... You can be a participant. Let's see. You can call in at 347-838-8622.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Ngoni Al, co-hosting for Mr. Talk today. Apparently, he's having some technical difficulties. He just dropped off the line. So I will just greet everyone. I see we've got... some people in the chat room. We have Allura, Avernus, and Deep H2O, and Guest 1045, and Guest 1058, and 1080. So Mr. Talk will probably be, he's back already. There he goes.
Damn. Can you hear me? I can hear you.
All right.
See, Blog Talk, look, Blog Talk messing around again. I don't know what's going on in the last couple of days, but they need to fix it. They ruined my surprise. That's right, y'all. This is your surprise. My co-host is back, Sister Ngoni. That's right. She's back for a special appearance today. That's all. Don't get too happy. That's right. So, you know, much love to her. She has helped us take the show to a whole nother level, and I love her for it. But anyway, now, where was I? Oh, yeah. If you want to participate on the show today, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or join us in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And those are all the ways you can participate, and we look forward to hearing from you today. But, man, here's some of the topics we're going to be talking about today. Russian airplanes flying near the California coast. Yeah, them big old-time bombers. Ain't that something? Then we're also going to be talking about, you know, in the next 10 years, man, we're going to be able to upgrade our brain. Imagine that. I'm sure it's sooner than 10 years, but that's what they are predicting. And the UN is having a meeting, and they're looking at banning killer robots. I'm telling you, man, this is some stuff here, man. I'm telling you. And another topic, California. I don't know what's going on with them out there. California has passed a bill, and they're waiting on the governor to supply prisoners with condoms. Now, what were they thinking? What are they thinking, y'all? In all this, what are they thinking? You know, I don't know, but we're going to talk about a little bit all of it today. And, of course, no Optimus Prime. Of course, we have our special guest, oh, Sister Ngoni Al. See, you thought I forgot how to do that, huh? She going to spend the day with us. And, in fact, I'll be on her show tonight as co-host. So, you know, yeah, make sure y'all check her show out. Co-host, let them know what your show is and what time you come on.
Okay, the show is called Gnosis Cardia Show, and it comes on at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I just want to thank you for having me as your guest co-host today. Eric, it's a pleasure to be back here with you.
Why, thank you, thank you. And it's a pleasure to have you, that's for sure. All right, y'all. Now, like I told you, Lord, enjoying life, say, do the prisoners get conjugal visits? Yeah, in the cell. All right, I'm not going there yet. I'm not going there yet. All right, anyway. Like I told y'all when I came back, you know, it's to the point now. Some days we'll have music, some days we won't. And you know what? Today I felt like a little jazz. Now, if I'd known I was going to have my co-host back, I would have put on some Paul Hardcastle for her. But unfortunately, this was already planned out by the director, and, you know, they get upset when I try and change it. So, yes.
Harry, I'm trying to withdraw. I have an addiction to Paul Hardcastle. I'm suffering withdrawal since I'm trying to overcome it, recovering. I'm a recovering Paul Hardcastle addict.
I love that. I love that. Well, all right. Well, hopefully we can help you out there with this tune right here. All right, y'all. Here it is. Wynton Marsalis. What's his name again? Yeah, one of Marsalis boys, Wynton. Yeah, and Mo Better Blues. See you on the other side. If I can get this thing to quit freezing. All right. Nice, smooth way to bring in Hump Day. What y'all think about that? I love that song, Mo Bella Blues. I even love the movie, man. I'm telling you, but the music in that music is just prestigious. Pristine. Yes, I love it. I love it. I love it. And, of course, that was Wynton Marsalis. That's right, from the soundtrack of the movie, Mo Bella Blues, a Spike Lee joint. But yes, man, I'm telling you, if y'all know anything, you know, whatever you use to download some music, hey, go and check it out, man. Boy, I'm telling you, you love jazz, that's the one for you right there. All right? All right. Oh, Sister Goni, how'd you like it?
Very well. I like Wynton Marsalis. Nice and smooth, relaxed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
You know? Oh, man, I'm telling you. Yeah, you know, that's always a good thing, man. I'm telling you, nothing like some good music. They start off giving you that extra edge. That's right. Being I couldn't make it to the gym today. Yeah, that got me hot then pumping right then. And all you funny people, you need to cut it out. I know what y'all thinking. Nope, it's not like that. All right, so before we get on to the topics today, once again, if you want to be a part of the show, 347-838-8622, email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Okay, now, once again, before we get started, let's talk to our co-host again that's here, Sister Ngoni Al. And Sister Ngoni, you know, it's been a while, and unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to hear a lot of your shows. So tell us a little bit about what your show is about and what else you've been up to. Yeah.
Well, I have been doing shows about, geopolitics, some things about the Trivium, which is a system of learning that was taken away from us way back in the 1870s, and by the 1920s, they completely took it out of our education system, which teaches you, a method of learning. And we've done shows about, as I said, politics. Yesterday, I did a show on the bankruptcy of the United States, and I've focused on money and what it is and what it isn't, and just various topics. And we try to have a balance, and it's new, and we're growing a little bit. So as far as what I've been up to, just basically just enjoying life, and you know, I found out that these shows are work.
Yes, they are, especially when you get a devoted, crazy following.
Yeah.
Let me stop. Yeah. But, you know, once they become devoted, though, you can't beat them for nothing. I tell you, I wouldn't trade my crew for nothing, even though I think some of them escape from asylums on certain days. But it's all good.
Yeah. Have a loyal family at the talk show. That's great.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. So, first thing we're going to talk about before we get – yeah. First thing we're going to talk about is California. California. Hey, I'm going back to Cali. What are they thinking? Talking about giving condoms to prisoners. I mean, Go ahead. What are they really thinking?
Well, you know, Mr. Talk, when you told me what you were going to be talking about today, I went to do some reading. I can't get my head out of this issue. I know you didn't mention it yet, but I think there's a connection to why they're giving the condoms to the prisons in California. This mess with Manning that wants to transfer for gender treatment.
Ah, see, you stole my thunder on that one.
Oh, Mr. Falk, I'm sorry.
Okay, but it's all good. It's all good.
You don't see a connection?
I do see a connection. You know, I really
do.
Let's see. Laura Everness says, I think it's a good idea. Okay, why do you think it's such a good idea? If they're not supposed to be having sex in prison anyway, okay, why do you want to give them condoms? What is the necessity of giving them condoms? You know what I mean? Why? I mean, what are you thinking?
Well, Eric,
yes, ma'am.
You see, they probably end up having to spend a lot of money for medical treatments. You know, you said they're not supposed to be having sex in prison, but you know they're going to have sex in prison, whether they're supposed to or not, right? There are certain things you can't legislate.
Okay, they say, let's see, I'm looking at the thing. The state spends nearly $24,000 a year for each prisoner infected with HIV and enrolled in Medicare, Cal. Okay, he also said a previous condom distribution pilot program cost the state $1.39 per prisoner. Okay, now. Okay, so I see they're looking at it as a numbers thing. You know, but I don't know. I think my personal opinion is if you give it to them, that's telling them, okay, you can have it, just be safe. That way we're protecting. And I'm telling you what they said. That way we are protecting our community for when they are released it back into society to protect the spouses and partners of prisoners once they are released. People have a right to have protection who are in prisons and jail and is not being provided to them, regardless of whether it's legal to have sex in prisons or jails. So I guess that's it right there, huh? They have a right to condoms. What are they really thinking? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Let's see. Lord Evans said, I used to work in a prison. Yes, they are having sex. Okay. All right. They having sex, but do they need condoms then? I mean, they make everything else. Why can't they make their own condoms? You know what I mean? I'm just talking. Oh, Sister Gunny, where you at?
Well, I'm here. I'm, you know, thinking about what you just read about.
Mm-hmm.
They have rights. They who wrote that? That they have rights.
Oh, that
they're
was
trying to take rights away out here, but they got rights to have condoms, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, Michael Weinstein.
We don't have rights to free speech. They're taking away the Second Amendment, and they're focusing, they're talking about they have rights?
Mm.
Really?
Yeah, really. Michael Weinstein, president of AIDS Healthcare Foundation, and a bill sponsor. Yeah.
Mm.
So they say they have rights and they deserve. Go ahead.
I can see what the lady in the chat room, whoever that was, put the information in about the numbers. That makes sense to me. I mean, after all, I figured right away that they were probably, the states were probably having to spend a lot of money on medical expenses because they are having sex, and they're going to keep having sex whether anybody agrees with it or not.
Right,
so
right.
From the numbers standpoint of view, I can understand why they would try to make a move to save some money since they claim to be broke, you know. Yeah, so, but as far as the moral issue is concerned, I think you're preaching to the choir, honey, because you're not going to stop that, okay?
Right. You know, I understand they're saying, yeah, well, it's for the protection of the community. But is it really? I can see now condom companies sponsoring prisons and building more. That's the way I'm looking at it right now. And, you know. I guess you have to look a little further into it than what they're really trying to show you. But we have somebody with their hand up. So we're going to see what they have to say about it. And it's going to be interesting. Oh, we got two hands up. Oh, we must have hit a nerve somewhere. Let's see what we got. All right. Let's see. 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
You've got a lifelong California native and resident that doesn't really appreciate you disparaging my state. If you look at the common sense here, inmates are having sex.
Well, hold on before you get started. All right, hold on. Eric, go one.
You're acting as kooky as actually. Pardon me.
Hold on, Beasley.
Thank God. Otherwise, I'd never get it. Jeez.
Oh. Whatever. I was talking. Whatever.
I was talking
anyway.
About Beasley. Yeah.
Oh.
I
got to
get
all
in
right.
Before Beasley does his monologue, and then.
Well, you go ahead and go first, Joe. Since you, when's the last time you've been to California?
See, there he goes.
I'm in California
wait a minute.
Right now.
Wait a minute, gentlemen. Are y'all gonna say hello to my co-host?
Who's that?
Sister Ngoni, say hello.
Oh, hello, Zangoni.
Greetings, Joe and Mr. Beasley.
I didn't know what the topic was today, so I like let Beezer go first. I was just kidding around. I wanted to get in here on early because it seemed like I've been missing out on the first hour of the shows lately, but go ahead, Beezer.
All right, go ahead, Mr. Beasley.
First off, this is a proposed bill.
Right, it's proposed, and the governor has vetoed something like it before, but now they're proposing
the information. The reality is that people have sex in prison, and they have sex in prison in Montana, and they have sex in prison in Texas. Another reality is that everyone's not in there forever. These people do come out back. There's a revolving door. People are coming back out into the community. Do you think it's better that people that may go in there and get infected by having unprotected sex, that they come spread it in the community? You're not considering that. Also, there is an expense involved, but having caring for people that get serious diseases like that. I think California is generally on the cutting edge of progressive thinking. Usually it happens in California first, and the rest of the country catches up.
I don't think
this is that ridiculous a thing.
You don't think so? Okay. All right.
Not at all.
Well, okay. Well, we thank you for your point
of view.
I hope
I never have to go to prison in order to find out and participate.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just good common sense. But it's probably not going to come into law anyway, because the governor, who will be the governor again, he vetoed a similar measure last year.
Right. So, you know, but they pushing hard again. You know, and like Sister Ngoni was saying earlier, you know, this is interesting because this kind of goes with the Bradley Manning case. Y'all may have forgot him. He was the soldier who got convicted for leaking information to WikiLeaks. And he was a military, and he's went to jail. Now, the Pentagon is actually poised to transfer it, to a civilian prison so he can begin hormone therapy related to her gender transition. See, they're already calling a her. You see what I'm saying?
That's Chelsea Manning. I guess
The boy was born Bradley. I'm calling him Bradley.
Call him Bradley, call him whatever you want. It's unfortunate that he got such a severe sentence, but he wasn't convicted of the major things. Well, the flaw there, that the connection, is that Bradley is a federal prisoner, and this is a California state bill. The state of California doesn't have any authority of what goes on in federal prison. So,
but isn't this still a precedence that's being set that we really don't want to be set? Number one, now you're giving the condoms to the prisoners. You know, even though you know it's financially a better option, but what about the stuff that can be smuggled in now, or they can hold as contraband in the condoms? Number two, now you got this precedence being set by the federal government to where everyone can actually come in and say, well, I want to be a girl, and I want to be or whatever, and actually be sent somewhere to where our tax dollars are paying to have this boy changed into a girl. And you think that's okay too? Now we got condoms, now we got sex changes, hormones going on. What's next?
Well, things are struggling into prisons all the time anyway. You know, I've talked to people in prison on a fairly regular basis that have telephones in prison, that have smartphones in prison, and that are on Twitter and Facebook as well.
Right.
So the smuggling things in prison, and most of it is done by the guards. That's just the reality. As far as that other stuff, I haven't given it any thought at all.
Okay.
I think people that are transgender, it's a little strange to me. I don't know why people aren't just happy with what they are, or would try to change something that severe. But I haven't given that any thought. I don't have too much of an opinion on that.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
All right.
Yes,
so,
ma'am. Wait, hold up, Joe. Hold up a minute.
There's another aspect you may want to consider. I was reading an article in USA Today where it says the lawyer of Manning blasted the announcement because he's saying that it was a strong arm attempt to force Manning into dropping, and they used the term her request for the treatment. So the article about the condoms, it may be a stretch, but, you know, it could be political also. You know, I saw a little connection there. There might be playing politics here, Mr. Talk.
Well, that's true, too. But if you think about it, let's put this whole puzzle together. Over the weekend, we had Sam, the football player. All right. National television, he kisses his boyfriend. Now California has this bill proposed. And now Chelsea, Bradley Manning is in the news. So what is really going on with this stuff? I mean, is it, you know, it's no longer being quietly pushed on us. It's just like being thrown at us like bricks right now. And you know, just like, okay.
So what's the topic for the show? Is it about what Renee was talking about the past couple of days, or was it about a bill in California?
No. Renee was talking about Michael Sam, the football player that got drafted.
She's talking about the gay agenda, and now we've got the what are you talking about? The bill, some bill in California.
Well, yeah.
And the bill
There's a bill to give condoms to inmates. I don't see there's any connection with that with these other two stories, and it's obvious that there's a gay agenda. You know, someone would have to have their head in the sand not to see that, and it is what it is.
Okay, so there's a bill that makes it mandatory for the prison.
Not mandatory. There's a bill that's going to allow California state inmates to have condoms.
Mm. How are they going to allow it?
Well, it's still a bill right now.
I don't know the particulars, but they're going to hand out the condoms.
All right, mm-hmm. So it allows the warden, the prison, to distribute condoms to prisoners.
Right.
Okay. All right, so not me.
Just acknowledging that there's consensual sense going on in prisons.
Or at least trying to stop the spread of AIDS probably is their political statement.
Right.
Yeah, that is the statement. But I think, now, this is just my opinion, so don't y'all be going crazy. But see, we're failing to look at another side of this thing also. I think it's just another ploy to eliminate the black male from the black neighborhood so they can go ahead and take over a little easier. That's what I'm thinking, so they can continue to eliminate the nuclear family from our neighborhoods and keep it as
my God.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
How? It's what's going on in prison.
Yeah, can you explain that?
Yes, I surely can. Number one, you know, they are already placing our young men in prison
at record rate.
They're right there.
With all due respect, and a whole lot of them are committing crimes. But go ahead.
Well, see, okay, yeah, that's what they want you to believe, though, right?
If you're going to act like everybody's in prison innocent, that's way far-fetched. But go ahead.
Well, no, I'm not saying everybody is innocent, but what I'm saying, there are a whole lot of innocent individuals in there that shouldn't be in there, you know. And also, come to think about it, you know, I'll get to that point in a minute. But what I'm saying is, you know, I'm just thinking this way. I mean, it's just my opinion, but what's a better way to, number one, continue the genocide of the black, you know, blah, 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 black community by going ahead and giving condoms out, even though there are sex, we know sex going on, and continuing the homosexuality premise against our young men. You know, that way they don't have to worry about men. The only thing they have to worry about is women in the big picture of everything. That's just my opinion, of course. I just thought about that. Now, see, also,
if you want
to, did somebody
to me,
tell me to
you,
hush? Did somebody just tell me to hush?
I did.
No, there's only two of us on the line. I said Eric.
So. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
well, I wanted you to continue with that. I still don't get it. I still don't get the fact that
basically what I'm saying, Joe. Okay, it's a game plan. All right. Now, as Beasley said, California is, you know, Beasley thinks they're the leader in stuff like this. So why not try it in California first? Because you have, you know, Hispanics, Latinos, blacks, you know, that mostly fill the jail. So let's try it on them. Let's see how many we can turn from male to female. You know what I mean?
Okay. So you're saying by them passing out condoms, it's going to create more homosexual sex in prison.
Hey, it may.
It seems to me. I'll just be one sentence, Joe. You can go right after me. It seems to me if there was a concentrated effort of genocide and wiping people out, that they would continue to let them have unprotected sex in prison and get all the different diseases that come with it.
Thank you, Beasley. Thank you, Beasley. You just made my case. So why do you think that the governor keeps vetoing it and saying no, it's not going to happen?
I'm not getting either one now.
Like I said, it was my opinion. Okay.
Right, but I want to explore that since you brought it up.
Yeah. Come on, Joe.
The distribution of condoms, meaning now, since you've agreed with Beasley, who is extrapolating from what you've said, that there will be an increase in homosexuality in prison, that therefore somehow that's going to affect the black community outside of prison, which you haven't gotten to yet, and I presume maybe you're going to get to it. And the second thing is that that goes against the premise of the condom, because if you have the condom, you have fewer cases of AIDS and diseases being caught, therefore you have fewer cases of people dying, therefore you have more blacks living. So I don't get how that's going to further what you're talking about. I'm missing something, Eric.
Okay. You're missing dark skin, Joe.
Well, forget about the melanin or the lack of melanin, the increased melanin, the non-melanin.
Uh-huh.
Just
all right,
explain
but
to me what you're saying. You're the one.
I can't explain any better. Okay.
All right.
They making it look like they're putting out an effort to really they're not, because they already know the governor is going to dang on veto it, so everything can be go back status quo, and you know the destruction of the African American male is continuing. That's all I'm saying.
Hmm, you're saying that this is nothing more than smoke and mirrors, or are you saying that if it got passed?
That's it, Joe. It's a smoke and mirror. That's all it is. Okay.
Right, so you're not saying then that if it was passed, do you want it to be passed or do you not want it to be passed?
I don't think it makes any sense anyway. You know, but give them condoms. I don't. But hey, you know, that's just my opinion. But before I bring somebody else in, Sister Ngoni, what you think about all this?
Well, I'm still thinking about the connection to the politics with the article that I was reading where the lawyer was really upset and said that they were baiting the issue, he said it was a strong-arm attempt to force Manning into dropping the request for treatment, and then all of a sudden you have the issue of the bill out in California, which is, you know, the connection is prison, sex, an issue of safety for Manning and the issue of safety for the prisoners in California, and media is used to, you know, shape the opinions of people all over the nation, regardless of whether one's in California and one's in another state. The national news affects the opinions of people all over the country or whatever so-called country. So I see a connection there. I think it's politics. And just like you're saying that they're probably not going to pass the bill anyway, so it seems like to me they're just playing politics with it.
Okay. All right. I can see that. All righty then. Gentlemen, anything else before I bring this new call in?
I already said what I said that I think just debunks that, is that the California State Legislature in the state of California has no jurisdiction, no authority of what goes on in the federal prison system. I don't even know if Manning's in the federal prison system. He's probably in a military part of the federal prison. I think he was in Leavenworth. They sent him there first. California State Legislature has no authority, no jurisdiction, absolutely nothing to do with the federal prison system.
But California does have...
shaping the minds of the people, it doesn't matter whether they have jurisdiction or not, because the whole issue is to shape the opinions of the people around prison, sex, condoms, safety issues, and transfer of a man who wants to become a woman. So it doesn't have to have jurisdiction. It's about the jurisdiction of your mind.
Yeah, well, my mind sees no jurisdiction.
Of course, we know. Tiny minds always come up with great ideas sometimes. You get there, Beasley. Let me stop. All right. Let me.
You guys will come back from there one day.
Yeah, I think not. Let me bring area code 972 in. 972, welcome to the show. What do you have for me today?
Hi, how you doing? I was just listening to the topic. I'm not familiar with California law because I don't live in California. But this is a good topic, and this has been debated not just in California but for years before this about condoms in the prisons. But for so long, they've been downplaying it. When people did try to bring up the fact that they should have condoms in state prisons or any other prisons, people say, oh, they don't need condoms because ain't nothing in prison going on like that. That was a big topic, that there's not no sex going on, well, from prison officials and everybody else. But we all know that stuff like that is happening in prisons. And I think whether federal or whatever, California may not have nothing to do with federal prisons, but they do have to do with state prisons. I think they should pass out condoms all around around the board. And I don't think that it's promoting sex. I think that it's just a protection because sex is going on, and whether it's willingly or unwillingly. Because you got some people, they go to prison, they're willing to have sex. You got others, they go and they get raped. So my whole thing is that I think that it will be safe. And as far as the discussion goes about I'm a black man. They're trying to get rid of the black race or all this other bullshit. It is disproportionate when you look at the fact that there are more black young males being locked up and on this planet than anybody else. Now, I got to agree with you on that. The laws are geared towards us to lock us up more. But at the same time, I think that it's a injustice to black women because there are a lot of black women who come up with HIV from black men who are having sex with other men. And a lot of that has to do with prison. That's just my take on it.
All right. And can we get your name, sir?
Yeah, my name is Don.
Don. Okay, Don. All right. Well, Don, you know what? I agree with you. But I'm just going to ask you, so it's a disjustice to the black woman when they come out after having sex in prison and they may be transmitting HIV or whatever STD they may have caught in there. Okay, I can't even argue with that. That makes a whole lot of sense. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that statistics show that.
Because
so
if you look at statistics with HIV and black women versus any other woman on the planet, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I cannot disagree with you on that. I can't, but I just don't see the need. I mean, I don't know. I mean, everybody has made good points to kind of counteract what I said, but I still don't. I think it will not really be used for what they think. They think it'll be used for. I think it'll be more devastating or used for the wrong thing than the actual good thing. Because we already know when it comes to raping somebody, they ain't gonna be thinking about no condom at all. You know, so.
But the whole thing is, though, is that at least give them, okay, on the streets, we got a choice. Now, you know, we all hear about condoms out here in the free world. Condoms, Planned Parenthood, everybody put your condoms. Now, even out here, we have a choice as whether we want to use them or not. And I do agree with you on the rape part. When guys going around here raping women in everyday society, they're not using no condom. So
right.
That part I agree with. And being a heterosexual man, I have a choice whether I want to use a condom in the free world or not, which we all do.
Us four coin sets or
some of us don't. But my thing is at least give them the choice to use it or not. That's my thing. If they decide to use it, fine. If they don't, then fine too.
Okay. All right.
Beasley, those you're closing a sale on the phone.
No, not no longer. He good. He's good. But okay, I understand that. I understand that. But you know that brings up a whole other question. How will they actually implement this? Will they just hand them out, or you see what I'm saying? Or will the inmate come and ask for them himself? So I don't know. But I got a couple more people I want to let in. So you know that's another kind of thought process.
Yeah, but according
to
you, Eric, they're not going to implement it at all because all the bill is, it's a smoke screen, and then the smoke screen is going to die and the bill won't be passed.
Right. Because a similar bill, the governor of California already, you know, vetoed the first one. So, you know, they're coming back again.
So there won't be any distribution of condoms anyway.
Pretty much. But if there is, how would they implement that? You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, so let me bring Renee in. Hello, Renee.
Hey,
hold Renee. On, Renee. Hold
Is
on, hold on.
Noise
hold on.
When, okay.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on. Let me bring this other individual in. 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Maze.
All right, so we got Maze and Renee joining the conversation.
Greetings, ladies.
Renee, are you the one that owns a business, a hairstyling business?
No.
Do you own a business?
No, not officially.
Okay. Then it's a different Renee, I think. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So are we talking about condoms in prison?
Yes, we are.
I don't think it's a good idea at all. I think that by doing that, you are basically okaying the behavior. You are recognizing that this happens, and instead of trying to implement programs to do some other things, we're going to go ahead and just give you guys condoms and go ahead and do what you do. And, you know, hey, that's how we're going to do it. I think that, a lot of people don't know that the Nation of Islam actually became very, very popular in prison, as well as the Black Panthers became very popular in prison. And one of the main reasons why the Nation of Islam became popular in prison in the 70s and forward is because it was to combat, one of the reasons was to combat homosexuality going on in prison. It was giving Black men another option, another outlet for their mind. It was supposedly feeding, you know, their spirit, feeding their brain, having them have strength within their character as to not get involved in a lot of situations that happen in prison and then, of course, come out onto the street. And a lot of people don't know that. You can look it up. But why is it that we are, you know, wanting to give out condoms instead of giving out something else to help the situation? Now, of course, men are going to have a sexual desire, you know, period. That's going to happen. I mean, that's natural. But there are also other things that you can do, okay, to give these men some other type of focus so that it does not become about just having all types of sex in prison and getting into certain behaviors. Because what you have is a lot of men who go to prison, and they rationalize their behavior in prison because they say, well, I'm in here, I'm around nothing but men, and so while I'm here, it's okay for me to have sex with men, or it's okay for me to get sexual favors from men. Okay, they rationalize it in their head that they're not gay. But there are many, many, many other options to put on the table. A lot of men go into prison and are fearful because they feel they're going to get raped or whatever. But I think that over time, people kind of begin to break down. And when you don't have any other barrier there to give you something else to divert your attention or make you refocus on, okay, while I'm here, I'm going to study, I'm going to get my education, I'm going to put my energy into that. When that's not present, then you run into way, way, way more issues. So they don't need to be giving condoms. We need to be teaching men how to handle themselves. We need to, and I just want to say this real quick, too. There was a man who was a correctional officer for decades, for a very long time, in a state prison. And he said that something like, he would say between 75% and 100% of black men who came into prison ended up being involved in some type of homosexual activity. You know, whether it was, you know, no matter what it was, that high number of black men got involved in things, while he said other races of men did not get as involved in sexual practices as black men did. And I thought that was very interesting to think about that. I think black men in general tend to have some hypersexuality. So that sexual feeling needs to be fed at all times, and even when you're around nothing but men. So I think there's a lot of issues there. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I know people. I know a warden. I know plenty of people that work in prison.
You
got three types. You got state, federal, and private. Prison. So some of the things that go into prison, and it might be a lawsuit, the reason they're coming out with condoms, because in the faces of prison is changing now. It's not looking like it used to. I'm saying this from people that work there. They know.
All right.
But I'm saying it might be a lawsuit. So you always say, black man go to prison, he bring a disease back to his community. So if he filed the lawsuit because this happened to him, if he was straight and nothing was wrong with him when he went in there, they might be getting ready to do a big lawsuit against the prison for having to come back out like that. And you have prison that have to pay money to keep other men from messing with them, keep them off of them. They got to pay money. Just like they have to buy their cigarettes, have they make their phone calls, their soap and everything else that they purchase while they're in there. So I'm quite sure that's what's going to happen when they put the condoms in there.
Can I say something?
Hold on for a minute. Hold on. Let my co-host get in here. Go ahead, Sister Ngoni.
Well, thank you, Eric. And you also have a question in the chat room that Deep H2O wanted to have answered. He says he wants to know why so much, I don't want to misquote, so I got to go back up the screen. Why are we so concerned of what others do in personal matters? That was the question, Eric. I don't know if you want to answer it before I respond to Renee.
I mean, Renee has already answered it because I was going to say if you stay in your own little box, then, yeah, it doesn't affect you at all. But in the bigger picture, it affects all of us out here one way or another. So, I mean, that's why we need to be concerned, and that's the problem that we've had in our community for a minute, is we have just gone to where we just care about self. You know, whatever happened to everybody, that's what they do, all right? But, you know, we have stopped caring about the community and things of that nature, and that's why we need to talk about this. If you don't talk about it, then you don't know. If you don't know, then you're going to say, well, I didn't know. Is that an excuse? No, it's not. So that is it. That's my take on it anyway. But go ahead, Sister Ngoni.
Well, I think that's a very good point, Eric. And also, in addition to that, we also have to, they make us responsible for the funding. For the health
right.
Concerns, whatever medical care has to be given, that's paid for by the people. So, but I wanted to respond to Renee, what Renee said, because I didn't know that. How you doing, Renee?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, I was surprised to learn that about the Nation of Islam and the reason why they had focused on their prison program. I knew they had one, as a lot of ministers do. But when you were speaking about it, I couldn't help but think about, the state, and I referred back to what Eric was saying, what he thought was going on as far as the effort to cull the black male population. And I don't think the state has the will, or they don't care. You know, we can see that we have what called a revolving door, or what they call that, recidivism, where,
yeah.
You know, it's like a revolving door back and forth between the prisons. So even though I agree with everything you said, and from a moral standpoint of view, and to care about the community, and everything you said is correct, I just question whether the state has the same
concern or will. That's all I wanted to say.
Now, didn't they have a program in the prison system where the people were getting degrees and getting out, but then they couldn't get a job after they left the prison?
Well, wait a minute. Hold on, Maze. What does that have to do with condoms in prison?
No. Like Renee was saying, what the Nation of Islam did for the prison system, they was in there giving them a reason to do things when they came out. They had a program in there for that, and there's one lawyer that got out of prison. He was a lawyer when he got out of prison, but they would not let him.
They wouldn't let him practice?
No, they wouldn't let him practice, and they wouldn't let him take the bar.
Well, not only that,
he passed the classes and everything. They took that out of the prisons because it was in there at one time.
Yeah, they don't have the will. And not only that, if you have a federal case now, you can't even rent an apartment. You can't even get a lease for an apartment.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I wanted to answer...
If you have a federal case, what do you mean by if somebody has a federal case, they can't have an apartment?
Uh-huh.
Yes, they cannot lease an apartment. That's
well,
correct.
When you
That's
say
what
federal
I...
case, are you saying somebody starting a federal lawsuit?
No, they got convicted on federal charges.
Oh, if somebody got convicted on federal charges, if they got out of prison,
right.
they can't get an apartment?
Right.
They can't get they can't get a federally subsidized apartment is what you're saying?
Yes.
No, and they also many times other, leasing agencies with apartments will not take them either. There are sometimes, and many times it's going to be slumlords and in very low-income areas where the landlord will overlook that and will allow you to move in.
So what I'm understanding is that if somebody is convicted of a federal crime, gets out of federal prison, that if he wants to get an apartment, that it's legal to discriminate against him based upon the fact of his prior conviction.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
You know, certain discrimination is allowed. You know what I mean? It's, even though these people have paid their debt to society, it doesn't matter. It's going to follow you, and then people are going to say, well, I can't rent to you, you know, your history and all that kind of stuff. So that's what tends to happen. But I wanted to answer two questions that was in the chat, though. And when Deep H2O was asking about it, people being concerned of what other people do privately or whatever, when it comes to prison, I mean, that's not really private. It's not really private. There is, taxpayer money going to prisons, okay? So the public at large wants to know what's going on. The public at large is going to be concerned about what is going on in prison. What are they able to get? What are they able to do? You know, what's happening? So that right there is one portion of it. The other portion of it is public health concerns, okay? You're talking about men who are enclosed with other men for years at a time, okay? There is a concern for the public when these men get out into the free world. You have a lot of men who will not disclose the behavior that they have done to the women they then go back to. And it is 75% easier for a man to give a woman HIV than for a woman to give it to a man. So you are talking about men engaging in behavior, coming out, not telling women, and then there's a high chance there that he may then pass something on. Also, somebody was talking about women being homosexual or being gay or lesbian. Now, the numbers are even higher, though, for women. Women tend to definitely go into prison and become lesbians across the board. It's something like 75% as well of women who go into prison heterosexual and come out being lesbian or bisexual. I mean, the numbers are extremely high. But I wanted to say that that's different in the aspect of two women cannot penetrate each other unless it's with an instrument, okay?
Oh.
When you talk about men, I'm sorry. But when you talk about men, you're talking about really penetration, okay, in the anus. You're talking about contact, skin-to-skin contact. You're talking about bodily fluids, okay? You're talking about all of that kind of stuff. You're talking about, you know, other things that go on. So there is a difference.
Mm. And some of the things, can I speak?
Go ahead, Maze.
And some of the things that do it in prison, you got some people do hair, Some men do hair in prison. Some women do hair in prison.
Yeah.
Some of the things. And also God. when they go on probation, they still got to pay money back to the state until their probation period is up.
Okay, Maze.
After
thank you.
After they serve their time.
All right, thank you, Maze. Let's bring Michael into the conversation. And welcome to the show, Michael. How you doing?
Wow, Mr. Talk, how everyone is doing
today. Hello, Mike.
Wow, after Renee gave us that graphic description, you want to tell me how to talk, Mr. Talk? But anyway, I want to say something. I don't know if this is a scared straight moment. You know, they always say, you know, homosexuality, listening to Renee, it seems like, you know, 70% of the men that walks into jail, I mean, 8 out of 10 men, 7 out of 10 men walk into jail and in prison, they have some homosexuality tendencies.
I don't know where those stats come from.
That is amazing.
I never said that.
I heard that. No. I heard you say that you spoke to a prison guard and he said almost 70 to 80% of the men had some type of
75% of black men.
I don't agree with that.
That's what I'm saying. Wow.
Okay.
Don't put that in.
All right. Wait.
Get on the topic. Let me give
him a warning.
Go ahead, Michael.
Before he shoots you.
Go ahead. All right. Everybody let Michael talk, okay? Let Michael talk.
But that is a scared straight tactic. I think we should tell our youngsters that. But anyway, condoms in prison, that is a laughing stock. Why are we promoting sex? That should be a deterrent from not going to jail. You're not going to have sex. Condoms in prisons don't get mad when the inmates start having sex with the guards like they did here locally in Baltimore. Listen, I don't understand. See, this is something that the prisoners need to regulate within themselves. See, those prisoners run that jail. The guards are not the only ones that run that jail. Those prisoners clean. They help feed each other. Without those prisoners, that jail would not run.
Actually.
Thank you.
This is the fact. So
I haven't heard that in a while.
It's a fact. Right, so when you have, I think the prisoners should, you know, segregate like they do. If you gay, you need to go on a certain section. If you're not, most men don't play that shit. I don't know where them statistics coming from, but most men that go into jail don't play it. Of course, you have your small percentage. But if you have somebody that comes on the water, look at the lockup. They'll send a homosexual into PC somewhere. Certain gangs don't play that. So I don't know what these people are coming from with these statistics and stats, but it is what it is. But I don't know. I think the prisoners should go ahead and take care of that. Let the inmates take care of that shit. Segregate and keep the gays with the gays, and it is what it is.
I think the fact that so many men engage in clandestine sex in prison and come out to the public and don't disclose it once they get out.
Right.
I think that's the perfect argument for condoms.
Right, but you're saying that.
I think that's the perfect argument for condoms in prison.
And you also have men in prison babies too.
All right.
Wait a minute, Michael. Hold up. Okay.
Those butt babies.
I have one point.
Okay, well, you're going to have to wait on that point. And I told you about that. All right, go ahead, Don.
All right, well, what I wanted to say was, Renee said earlier, this is just my take on it. Now, I heard a thing about 70% of people coming in there from what the prison guard said, they got homosexual tendencies. I got cousins, I got homeboys who've been locked up in and out of jail. Now, I do agree with the caller where he said some of them cats don't put, like the Muslims. I know for a fact the Muslims in the joint, they don't play that. There ain't no homosexuality, none of that stuff going on. But at the same time, you got to look at, Renee said, well, they need to do more. They need to have programs, schooling, teach these guys. If I'm a dude in the joint and I'm doing life without the possibility of parole, ain't never getting out. Because I got life, does that suppress my hormones, my sexuality when I want to have sex? Do think about a woman. I think about a woman, and from now on out, I want to have sex. Am I supposed to, excuse my language, y'all, jack off for, I'm 19 years old.
If I live to 70, am I supposed to jack off from 19 until 70? Now, I think this is just my personal thing on it. People adapt to their environment. And I'm not saying that the cat who's doing life has got to rape anybody.
And but he
I
might.
Think if you, well, he might, but then again, he might not. Because I just seen a documentary on, not that long ago, on prison life, where it's not as much rape as we think is going on than consensual sex. If I'm doing life and you doing life, we got 150 other cats doing life. We all doing life. Except for, you know, a small minority. Are we really just supposed to suppress those feelings? I mean, because we are
you can't suppress
all human.
Them. You can't suppress
them. We are all
them.
Human. At some point in time, we're going to need a human touch. And I'm not saying that it's right, but I'm saying for that life that the people are trapped in.
Wouldn't masturbation be better than risking AIDS?
Can I respond to him?
Okay, hold on for a minute. Hold on for a minute, Renee. Go ahead, Sister Ngoni, ask your question.
Oh, I was just asking the gentleman if wouldn't masturbation be better than risking getting AIDS if you had lice?
Okay, let me answer that. Do y'all remember some years ago it was a plane crash somewhere in the Alps or somewhere cold and the plane went down? People survived. Now they had this on. Yeah, exactly. They had it on TV. They turned to the point of they tried to hold off on it. They tried to say, well, we're not going to do this. Some people was like, oh, that's disgusting. But after they was out there so long, they didn't think that they was going to be rescued. In order to survive, they started eating the people who were there. Now they adapted to the situation. What's the difference?
But that was a matter of survival. You can live without having sex.
In prison,
I like it.
You
can survive without having sex, and you can certainly survive masturbation.
I don't believe that. I think if you go to prison, you still got sexual tendencies. At some point in time, you may go 20 years without doing something with somebody. But at some point in time, I think whether man, woman, child, boy, girl, or whoever, you're going to end up cracking.
It might only take 20 days.
Mm.
It might.
All right.
If you're doing
sex
a life
in prison
then,
is a,
it might.
Sex in prison is a reality. And I don't see why they and these people come back into the community.
Women do it in prison all the time, so what's the difference?
Right.
May I speak?
I was next.
Go ahead, Renee.
I wanted to say that
then Michael.
When what he was just saying about, you know, programs and things like that are not going to keep them from having, you know, sex or whatever. I agree. It's not going to stop the urges. No, it's not. But again, like when I talk about the Nation of Islam, a lot of those brothers said it was so helpful to them. It was extremely helpful to them to survive, to get out of that environment, excuse me, without being caught up in that environment. Also, when you talk about prisoners who are in for life, that's not going to be the majority of the men. Most of the men, excuse me, are going to be out back in the public again. Some, you know, in shorter periods of time, some in longer, but they will be in the public again. That's not most of the prisoners. Also, I wanted to say when you talk about programs, I personally am one for conjugal visits. I think they should allow conjugal visits for prisoners, okay? Now, they know sexual situations are going to happen in prison. That's a fact. So instead of trying to give them condoms to okay it, why are you not allowing the prisoners who are married to engage in sex with their wives?
They do.
Why not?
What if they're legally married to a man?
Wait a minute.
What if they're legally married to a man?
Then I guess they would be able to have a man come there because it's for that state, if it's legal, then what could they do? But anyway, but you're feeding into public health concerns and all that. Will you stop that? A lot of men would be very content if they know they have to look forward to their wife coming and being able to have sex with their wife, with the woman predominantly, okay? They know that they will be able to contain themselves more and look forward to it than engaging in sexual behavior with other men. There are other things that people can do. And also I want to say about wearing condoms. Just because you give them condoms
or make condoms available to them does not mean they're going to use it. One of the main reasons why many men, gay men, engage in sexual behavior with other men, one of the things is they don't want to wear a condom, okay? With women, you have to be cognizant of a woman getting pregnant. You have to be cognizant of bringing a child into the world. But another man, they don't have, that's never going to happen. So a lot of them don't like to use a condom, and they want the raw sex with another man. That's the reality. So putting condoms there is not going to necessarily work.
My God.
Wow!
Everybody should practice safe sex, though.
Wait a minute. Michael, it's your turn, Michael.
Wow. Well, now, I wish I was you. No one interrupts you at all. Hey, listen, Mr. Talk. Renee says something very powerful. She took my thunder. Listen, to me, I think it should stay the same. I don't think you should have sex with your wife. That's a penalty. You have to have a deterrent from staying in jail. Now, I agree. If you want to give gays condoms, you have to give the men who want to have sex condoms. Really? Even
okay, wait a minute,
not,
Mike.
All right. Hold on.
Okay, hold on. Hold on, Mike. And I told you. And I told you.
Okay.
Here's the question. Mike, okay. So what you're saying is deny them sex with their wives, all right, somebody they're legally married to, instead give them condoms and let them have sex with men in prison or be a
No, sleeper. I'm not saying that. No.
Well, what
no,
are you saying then?
No. I'm saying if you allow condoms, okay, I agree. If you allow condoms, anybody can have sex with anybody. It doesn't have to be their wives. Because the gay people that's in jail, they having sex, and that's what you're worrying about, and they're not married. So let's be fair and balanced, okay? But I'm saying, me personally, you shouldn't have sex at all. That should be a deterrent, okay? And I just want to say, most people who go to jail, most people are religious. They're Muslims and Christians, so it's never kept it out
go
of
after
jail.
Mike.
They go back and forth out the door. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, I want to go after Mike.
Go ahead, Joe.
What I think I'm hearing from Renee is that straight people go to jail because there's this gay culture or do-it-up-the-ass culture in prison that straight people are going to turn gay as a result. Is that right?
Wow, Joe, you put it so eloquently.
No.
Whatever.
He's not answering the question.
Renee.
I don't know about the next guy, but it's going to be a hell of a fight.
I still haven't finished yet. What I'm understanding is that, Renee, what you're saying is that if 100 straight men go to jail, straight men, that because of the proliferation of sex in a male male jail, is that out of 100, something like 70% of straight people are going to turn gay as a result of what they see in prison. Is that what I'm getting from you?
No, that's not what I'm saying. It's actually technically called situational homosexuality, which is the situation that they are in. They then turn to other men because women are
that's
not available.
What I said.
But what I'm
what did you
say? Okay,
so,
okay, but
so
then if you want to call us that.
So you're saying 7 out of 10 men has some sexual.
Nah, so you just going to jump in like that. Okay, go ahead, Renee.
But what I'm saying is it is called situational homosexuality, okay? Now, when those men get back in the public, they go back to women and dating women and having sex with women. But what I'm saying is you've opened Pandora's box then, okay? So at some point, a lot of those men may then, you know, have that desire, that whatever, and they may then go into having sex or sexual interaction.
So what you're saying is that 70% will become situational gay people. When they get out of prison, those 70 are going to go back to being straight men and having sex with women unless a certain portion of them were down low to begin with.
Right. And
okay,
I'm not saying 70%. This is, again, I'm saying this is what this particular correctional officer was saying. I'm not saying that number. They really don't have a real number of men doing that, but I'm just giving you an example.
So you're just speculating.
Yes.
Yeah, I said that's what the man said. I never verified.
There's no science to what
you're
saying.
There's
no science.
There's no fact.
Okay. That's number two. All right. I'm beginning to enjoy that.
You're beginning to sound like
you're
Walking Dead or
Alive.
Say what?
You're beginning to sound like Wanted Dead or Alive. Remember that? You ever watch the reruns of that show? The beginning of the show? Okay.
Yeah. All right, Michael, go ahead. You had a question or a comment?
No, I'm saying you have to watch statistics. Statistics that try to change someone's mind and make them look back. See, when you look at that data, if that number, statistics go by on that number, that conclusion is drawn on that number. So when you give a number like that, you want people to draw off a certain conclusion. So that's why we just have to be, you know, you have to watch what you say. That's all.
Right.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else? Any alibis? We're going to move on now. I think we done beat this one up as much as we could.
I agree.
I do got one more thing I want to say.
Okay, go ahead.
I heard somebody say earlier that the men who get out of prison should inform the woman that they're sleeping with that they've been messing around with other men, which I think that will never happen. And
right.
I don't think no man is going to get out the joint and say, well, you know what, by the way, I slept with Mike, Tim fucked me, I laid down with Bob. You know, I mean, I don't believe that guys are not going to just get out the joint. And then, too, this is my thing, to bring it on the woman. If you got a man who's been in the joint for 10 years and then you waited on him or 5 years or whatever, you shouldn't have to think that he all right because he ain't saying nothing. You should take it upon yourself to wonder, well, maybe, even though you really know him, you could still question the fact, well, I really don't know. So it's up to you to say if I really want to be with this guy or not.
Right.
Right.
There's just some things that a man has to keep to himself.
And just like Michael was saying,
there's some shit you just don't
joke.
Say.
That's a joke,
but it's serious, Joe. Joe, if you went to jail and you engaged and you did some situational homosexuality, right. Mm-hmm. You're not going to come. I mean, you don't seem like the type's going to come out bragging about it. You just keep that one to yourself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Michael was saying. Michael was saying, oh, it's people that don't, that go in there, they don't play that, and this, that, and the other. How do you know what somebody plays? When a person is in a pressurized situation, okay?
Like the truck, like rape?
Completely different. Like the guy who was talking about the people started becoming cannibals and things like that. When they're in a pressurized situation, you don't know what anyone is capable of.
Ma'am.
And then when they get back on the street and they say, oh, no, I don't play that game.
But Renee, that's
I'm letting you know
that,
man.
I know guys that have been in prison.
They will get on the street.
Some of the biggest, strongest, most muscle-bound gangsters have little boyfriends and do gay stuff. And it's common. I don't know if it's 70%. I think that it's less. But there are people that will become situational homosexuals.
Absolutely.
Right, but I'm letting you know.
You just have to ask yourself, do you think it would be you?
But there's another thing, Renee, with the way you were saying situational sex, it was like the men had a choice because they're in the environment, they see it all around them, and they figured, why not? Situational sex, if you're going to talk about rape, that's not situational sex. That's no longer been.
No, I'm not talking about rape.
Yeah, but if you weren't in that situation, it wouldn't have happened.
Oh, there you go,
Beaver. Right, and I'm not talking about rape. I mean, we can't account for rape. I mean, that's something completely different than what I'm talking about.
But
that's what happens.
When you talk
about condoms, most people.
Saying 70%.
Wait a minute, when you talk about condoms,
you
most people are not
going
to use a condom to rape somebody. You know, let's
all right,
let's
hold on.
Clear.
Okay, all right, slow your roll. Everybody, slow the roll. All right. I think we done beat this
to
a point. Yeah, we got to move on now. But I want to say one thing, then I'm going to give my co-host the last word. You know, we're talking about all this, but I think we're leaving out one important part. The guards play a lot of has a lot to do with who gets raped and who doesn't also, you know, because you always got crooked ones in there. But anyway, that's all I got to say. Sister Ngoni, last words on the topic, on this topic.
Thank you, Mr. Talk. I was just thinking that a lot of good points, but realistically, it's a kind of issue that can't be really regulated. And even though you look at the statistics and you can talk about it from a moral angle and from a health angle and so forth and so on, I don't see it. When you look at the greater society and what's going on in the society today, I don't think you can regulate it or change it. Just my thought.
Okay. All right, that's a good point. That's a very good point. All right, well, here we go. Let's see. Laura said the guards just sell products to the prisoners. All right. You think that's all they're doing, you go right ahead. They having sex with the prisoners, too. But anyway, we're going to move on. The UN is having a meeting this week, and they're talking about this. They're discussing killer robots. That's what I said, killer robots.
Good topic.
And, you know, they call the name they have for it is called Lethal Autonomous Weapon Systems. Okay, that's what the name for them. But basically, they're calling them killer robots. And they're supposedly goal is to learn as much as possible about the potential threats and then ban them. Now, this is the crazy part. You want to learn about their potential threats and then ban them, at least temporarily. Did y'all hear that last line right there?
Who's potential threat?
Huh?
Who's potential threat are you talking about? Robots?
Yes, Maze.
Oh, okay.
Come on,
it's
man.
Happening. Yeah,
I was thinking you were saying the robots was going to learn about the potential threat that somebody else was going to do, and then they would ban the people. So you're talking about the robots. Okay, go ahead. Just clarifying.
Yeah, boy, you better leave that stuff alone, Maze. And also they say weapons that cause unnecessary or unjustifiable suffering to combatants or to affect civilians indiscriminately. Now, since when they started worrying about how a combatant suffer, hey, you know, being a veteran of a couple of wars and then some, you're not thinking about none of that. But I want to go back to the top, though. They want to learn about the potential threats and then ban them, at least temporarily. Does that make it?
That's not contradictory to me, no.
It's not? Okay. No. Why not?
Because in order to find out whether or not you're going to ban something which is going to be very, very dangerous for the entire world if countries start engaging in this, you have to find out how dangerous it is first.
Hmm. Really?
Yep.
So why not go into your own stance? Yes? Huh? Somebody called me.
No.
It was called being strategic. It's called being strategic.
Wait, Michael. Oh. Wait a minute. Who was talking then? I don't know. Don, I think you were trying to get hold.
It was me, Mr. Talk.
Okay, go for it.
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is consider the source. The United Nations has been involved in some very seedy things, child trafficking, all kinds of things. So, you know, when you try to make sense out of a report that comes from the United Nations, I think first thing you have to do, when you look at their peacekeeping operations, they are not very peaceful. You know, and like I said, they've been caught in being involved in some very seedy things. So that has to count for something when you try to consider whether or not what they're saying makes sense. Again, what is the agenda? What are their real intentions? Now, I'm not saying everybody at the United Nations is bad. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that the United Nations, as you know, I'm sure, has been caught in some very bad situations.
Hmm. Okay. You know, and I'm just going to go on and put this in there. You know, it's amazing how they're having these discussions now when there's an increase in the Russians flying planes and things close to our California, our borders and things, and of what's the other place, Guam. You know, there's a bunch of activity now going on, and I just find it interesting that now they want to discuss, you know, killer robots, and you got all this going on, and it all points back to Ukraine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just find it funny. And then they say for now, you know, at least temporarily. If you're going to ban it, ban it. If not, just say you're not going to ban it. But they say at least temporarily. I'm not understanding. So when do you plan to use these things?
They don't have power, Mr. Talk. I mean, it's corporations that have the power now. If they had any power, then allow those things to be, you know, they have a charter, a human rights charter. And I think one of the things in the charter is genocide, against genocide. So why would you allow human killers to even exist if you really cared?
Are they going to test them from the space? From the space?
because it takes the Russians to go to the space, go up in space now, because America don't have a spaceship to go, so they got to go with the Russians, and they're up there now with the Russians.
Oh, you brought up.
And in order for them to get back home, you they got to use the Russians to get back. That's why I'm saying Russia and the United States not really having no problem.
You know, there's another. There's another thing too about the intertwining of the former USSR and the United States. Who do you? The engines that power our ICBMs. Who do you think makes them?
Who they make? The Russians? China?
Yeah. Well, that's stupid or what? How do you guard your borders based upon the enemy's whims? How do you guard? Yeah. How do you make ICBMs powered by the enemy?
You know, that's a good point, Joe. And, you know, look, in 2007, you know, Putin announced that Russia was resuming Soviet-era sorties by its strategic bomber aircraft near NATO airspace. So, I mean, it's not like they had a secret. He said it was coming. You know, and it was all about over, you know, Ukraine then, and it's about Ukraine now. You know,
oh,
and
another thing I'm talking about Ukraine.
Joe.
Who do you think is going to be in charge of certain Ukraine activities?
The Russians.
No. Joe Biden's son is in charge of certain gas pipelines or gas resources over in the Ukraine. So then
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, there's an intertwining again of Russia and the United States. What the hell going on?
You want people to see things that's not really there? If you're not really looking, that's what's really happening.
Yeah.
A lot of things you're not looking, you can't see it. I mean, not focusing.
Well, yeah.
I think to get pretty close to what Ngoni's saying. I think the whole world is being controlled not by Putin or, of course, not by Obama or Merkel, but the corporations which are just using countries as chess pieces in order to get their agenda done.
Corporations and people.
All right.
Always say.
I'm reading here that these killer robots. Some of these killer robots, they have a laser that they can shoot out that'll blind people.
Well, heck, they got them on tanks. So what's the difference?
Yeah, man, they got them.
Yeah,
I don't know anything.
I don't know anything about any tanks.
We only saw robots.
That's why they had them rear those green laser beams that can drive blind helicopters. They outlawed those. They have them. Like, you can go buy one of those.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
I think people need to pay more attention to movies. A lot of the stuff that's in movies that people just look at as entertainment and things like that, a lot of those things are actual, you know, things they're working on or that are in existence that people don't know.
What do you
and
think
we look
Skynet?
At it as entertainment.
What do you think Skynet's all about? Skynet
we look
is
at
awesome.
It as entertainment, and it's more than entertainment.
What do you think Skynet was about in The Terminator? It's
and everything that you carry in your pocket, the drone.
It's the killer robot.
RoboCop.
Mm-hmm.
RoboCop
too.
That's not a
thing. There were a few of them. The being that you can't kill. They used to shoot RoboCop. Those bullets used to bounce off. He would melt and come right back.
Let me ask you guys something. Where in history were a government body and business having been intertwined with each other?
What does that have to do with robots?
No, I'm just talking about, you know, the corporations.
You're talking about globally, Michael?
No, I'm just talking about any civilization where a government, a head board, or somebody was ruling can have control of some type of the business or control the business.
Hmm.
And the business try to control the government. I think that's how humans are, because we're not separate from the government. We are. See, when people say that the corporations are the leaders, no, we actually control the corporations because we have spending power. It's all a circle. We give them power. But see, if we say that we don't have power, then we can't talk. We can't change things. Then doomsday may come.
Mm-hmm.
It is
because they're no different than you and me. They go to the bathroom just like you and me. They lie just like you and me. That's why when the government say, you know, corruption, I say, well, that's how human beings are, because the government are made up of people. Not every
corporations
you know,
of people.
Exactly.
Well, yes and well, all right, guys. Doomsday is coming. Don't you listen to any of these shows? They warning you.
Yeah, but the thing is, Mike, what I was talking about was the intertwining of global corporations. Let's say a Finnish corporation, probably nobody would know of having some type of influence over the United States government, because nobody hears about the Finnish corporations. But
yeah, well, and you know what? And that's definitely a reality now.
Mm-hmm.
Now that the Supreme Court has ruled as it has, that's a definite reality. Those super PACs can raise money from anywhere in the world.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, and see, here's another thing. You know, and
unlimited
I watched,
amounts of money.
Yeah, and I watched this thing on a CNN to where, you know, I mean, not CNN, 60 Minutes, where the congressman can actually use that money, you know, as they choose to fit. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So they can use it for personal things. And right. a lot of them are doing. You know, they put it under, like, campaign something. There's some little loophole in the
loophole
charter.
In the FEC.
Yeah.
From what I understand, the super PACs are not held to the same degree
right.
of scrutiny as
right.
the regular campaign, mm-hmm. whatever the FEC designates as some sort of campaign.
Right.
Project.
So, that's how they can get their foot in the thing.
Where is it going to political advertisement, then? Political marketing, since it's going to be a lot more a pool of money out there, it's good to go in political marketing.
Yeah, but see, remember when we started first talking about Ukraine, and I brought out the senators that had investments actually in Russia.
Yeah.
So you know, those things you want. Those are the things that you will not find out if you're not looking for them. You know, if you're just sitting there on the surface, you know, just wading on the surface, then you're not. But you got to go deeper into it, and you see all kind of crazy things going on, you know, under the table that you really have to pay attention to.
Joe Biden's son was named the head of some large. Gas concern in the Ukraine.
I'm going to
say, Michael was saying that we drive the corporation, and not really.
We said corporation.
They drive the consumer. Okay, they can make it so that people rush out and buy this or buy that or whatever when they throw these things out here in the media. And they actually drive consumers. So it's actually the reverse.
You don't
and
have to
people,
participate.
You know, the reality is that the power, so to speak, of the people is so divided because now so many people look into the media for everything. So, of course, the media is going to tell you what's going to be beneficial for the government and which is going to benefit people that don't look like you and don't live like you. And the reality is we as a people are getting too dependent on the media, too dependent on entertainment, too dependent on technology. And because of that, we are losing more and more and more power of the people, so to speak. Okay? We are now looking for the new little gadget to come out to control us, to run us, to divert our attention. See, all of these things take your attention away from what's real. So now when you try to talk to people about making a movement or doing things, people are so engrossed in their own lives, okay? They're engrossed in technology and what's on TV and the new whatever, that we can't do anything collectively. So the government knows this, the corporations knows this, and the corporations drive the consumer.
But what?
You know what?
Oh,
Hold on. All right. I'm gonna say this. Then my co-host has a question. You know, I'm glad we went to the mine and stuff like that. Cause do you know Google Glasses? They have this thing called social radar. It's already out and it shows social network information on who are in the same location that you are. So if you're sitting somewhere and somebody, they can get all your information, and there's another thing called mind mailed. Now, I remember, I think it was last year, I talked about the little chip that they said they could put in your head and change your memories or give you memories back. Yeah. So now they got this app called Mind Mail that listens to conference calls and provides helpful links based on what the software hears you thinking, well, hear you talking about. So, it's become a reality really fast. So, you know, for those that are not paying attention, you better get up on it. Go ahead, sister, and go and ask your question. I'll see you in 2K.
Okay,
I'll get you in a minute.
Okay, first I want to make a comment about what you just said. I saw where McAfee has come out with a new software. It's free. Where it will monitor the apps that you have on your phone and your computer and alert you to those that are invading your privacy. And he said it's not a free trial or anything like that. He's providing it for free, period. That's what he said. But Renee, the question that I wanted to ask, I wanted to ask the question, do we think that movies are informing us or are they really shaping our reality and our perspective?
I would say both. I know I'm not.
Because she made a good
point. Wow, this is.
But she made a good point when she said the corporations are leading us. We're not, controlling what they provide, but they are shaping what we go and get from them. And I think movies do the same thing.
I agree.
Movies are made by big corporations.
Yes, and they're people. Well,
are made by big media companies. That are intertwined with the power structure.
Right.
All right, Maze, what you got to say?
Yes, because like the cell phone that we carry in our pocket every day, most people got rid of the landline. They don't think they have use for it. Those that want to keep a landline got sense enough to keep a landline, and they can do both.
Okay.
So some people got rid of them, and I'm wondering why.
I'm wondering why too. Okay,
you
let
still
me bring
keep a landline. I didn't say you couldn't. I said most people got rid of their landline.
No,
so they could carry their phone.
A lot of people have.
Yeah, they have.
Saying people still should. I was watching something about talking about living off the grid, and one of the things they said is the biggest mistake you can make is getting rid of your landline. They were saying everybody needs to still keep a landline because
and then,
if something goes on with the satellites or whatever is going on that connects cell phones, that the hardwired phone connection is still going to be, a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're telling people on that if, catastrophe happens, whatever, that it's still good to have a landline.
And it's also
all
true.
Right.
Some people got rid of their typewriters for the electric typewriter,
oh.
And now they got
a computer. Gosh.
Some people still have it
all,
so they can always get back and get it when they need it.
Okay.
So you don't have you can be back in time or you can be up with time.
Okay,
you
thank you, Maze.
Renee, when you're in business, you have to realize that when you're starting a business.
You know what? I can fix this.
Shoot him.
I can fix this. I'm not going to be arguing, trying to get in. It's my show. All right. Let me bring N2K and Chef Rob into the mix. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello.
My two favorites.
That's nice.
I just wanted to make a small comment. Entertainment, the whole purpose of entertainment, period, whether it's music, whether it's theater, whether it's television, whether it's movies, is culture creation. This is something that is thousands of years old, so that aspect of it isn't new. What's really new now is that technology is, that's the new religion. Technology is the new crack, so to speak, to put it in layman's terms. And the reason why I say that, if you ever are in the presence of someone who cannot find their cell phone, watch how they act.
Yeah,
freak out.
Right.
They freak
watch
out.
How they act. Cell phone.
They freak out.
We're talking about a cell phone. We're not talking about the laptop. We're not talking about the iPad. We're not talking about any of that. We're talking
freak
about
out.
Basic
phone. I lost my phone. Oh, my God, I lost
and
my
the
phone.
Whole, and what happens is because like you had said, Mr. Talk, that everything has been, the frequency has been turned up so much, mm-hmm. and technology is getting kicked out at, you know, this on a nano level, is that people are so tied into it that as soon as things change, we're right on board with it. I think I heard something about Google Glasses and McAfee and all of this other type of stuff. That's because people have been effectively over a 30-year period brought into this market that for whatever reason, once they get in it, they can't get out. Now, the ones who were like Mays was saying about the landlines, those are the ones who are trying to stay out of it as much as they can. And they will engage, but on a very limited basis. Now, the rest of the population who is just dove in head first without even checking to see if there's any water in the pool, it's too late. It's too late.
Yep.
And they are intrinsically tied in, so that factors in robots, cybernetic organisms. It factors all of that in. It's all covered. So no matter what it is, they have something for you. The next biggest thing to come out is holographic images. They're going to slowly weed that into the general public.
Right.
Now that's so dangerous.
That's going to take
us. They can take your hologram and have your hologram robbing banks.
There you go.
Yeah, it's already there. They're using it with Michael Jackson.
And we think this is like what I was saying yesterday. We think all of this stuff is not true. It's not real. That's fantasy. That's on TV. This stuff isn't really happening. All of this stuff is happening before our eyes, and nobody's saying anything about it. Everybody's okay with it. They even just, you know, for all the issues we have in this world, recently, I think it was this week, there's legislation now for losing your cell phone. And there was a girl, I think she's a daughter of one of the senators, I think, and a friend of hers actually got killed when someone was trying to steal her cell phone. So because of that, she got behind trying to introduce this bill and everything. So the bill is saying, they said because so many people whose cell phones are stolen, the people will chase after the person who tried to steal it. They will engage in a fight or try to hurt the person, or they will try to do what they can do to hold on to their phone so much that someone may actually take their life. And so now they have legislation that for all phones, it's going to be required for every phone carrier to have software that you can track your phone, that your phone can always be tracked at any time. Now, I thought that all phones already had that, but they don't. And they're actually going to implement that. That has to happen. Because and then you can go and shut down all your information, your contacts and all that. To me, that's just showing that, you know, this is how deep we are into this technology thing. We're putting this type of legislation over all the other problems we got, okay, to push through. It's sad.
Renee is there. You can already, if somebody get your phone and you lose it, you can have it shut down.
I know,
Mace. In your phone.
I know, Mace. I know.
And don't worry about it.
They're talking about actual legislation to enforce that.
So what are they going to legislate it for?
Okay, hold on. Didn't I just say hold on?
Okay.
All right. Let me bring Chris in. I haven't heard from Chris in a long time. Chris from Chicago. Welcome back, brother, and glad to hear you. You sounded good. What's going on? What you got for me?
Hey, thank you, and I'm glad to be back and hearing the show once again. I heard a few things. A woman here said on here about, I can't recall her name, but she might know what I'm talking about when I say it, how the revolution of people coming together is lost and it's gone. From in my generation, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and you saw the picketing for civil rights and everything, how it is gone and it's no longer around. Well, I just believe that that level of the revolution, yes, is gone, but now it's just elevated and went into something else and taken on another form, which the last 5 minutes I've been hearing about is the world of technology. It started from the ground, and now as we elevate and as a people and the revolution will elevate, it will take it to different flights and levels into the air. I just watched, I heard about the hologram. I heard about how that's going to be introduced into the public and a couple other things, but it has never left. It just went to a whole nother level, from my opinion. That's the way I see it, though. That's what I wanted to say.
You know, I don't know. I think people still group together. Yeah. Occupy Wall Street was a worldwide movement.
That started
in New York and went worldwide.
But Beasley, this the thing, Beasley. This is Chef Rob. Greetings.
How you doing?
All right. The thing is that yeah, it was a worldwide movement. Okay, here's my problem with that. I'm not sure where how far you were going with it, but black folks the civil rights movement should have been what I hear from some other leaders is this should have been a human rights movement. But the civil rights movement for black folks stopped. And it's being picked up by homos and stuff like that. And the Occupy Wall Street thing is not dealing with black issues at all. It's dealing with Occupy Wall Street. But
good
not
grief.
Going to go ahead and go too right. deep. Hold on. What do you mean good grief? It's not going to go it's not going to go ahead and go deep enough. Hold on. Wait a minute. No, that's bullshit. It's not going to go deep enough
right.
to go ahead and affect black folks. Now, let's deal with it. Let's deal with it.
Go ahead, Shell.
It's not going to go deep enough to help black folks. Black folks are going to mm-hmm. be on the low part of everyone, has been on the low part of every one of these movements and got nothing. I was just paying attention earlier today on how everybody's coming out. These news stations have been talking about, hey, this Donald Sterling thing. But when Donald Sterling came out and gave his rebuttal talking about Magic Johnson and the HIV, about Magic Johnson and the HIV thing, one thing the news media outlets did not go ahead and say nothing about was when Donald Sterling criticized Magic Johnson for doing something for the black community. Now, you think about that. Each one of these damn movements, blacks been a part of, but we got nothing out of it. Blacks are Democrats,
right.
Republicans, and still get nothing out of it. You need to think a little bit deeper when you go ahead and say, oh, my God, all that crap.
All right. Good points.
Yeah.
I like that. All right, yeah, Mike.
Wait.
Michael, go ahead and say what you need to say.
Yes, wow. No one interrupts me. Well, first of all, when you're talking about having change or revolution, watch this fact. The people who wanted to change something and have a revolution, their mindset was they have power, and we have it, and we can change it. If you keep on saying that the people don't have the power, the people don't control the corporations, and the corporations control the people would never try to take over and make change to the corporations. The people have power, Renee. Let's say your documentary is a business, right? You answer to your audience. Right? You even going out and talking to certain audience that may change. Every business, the consumer, the customer makes or break that business, and the business owner knows that. They answer to the customer about public relations. Listen, if my shipment comes in and one box is smashed, I'm not going to put that smash box on my shelf. It's marketing because it looks bad for the consumer. Consumer has the power. Bottom line, government, we have it. Listen, our politicians, they're representatives. They work for us. We should have the power. So this is what I'm going to say. That's the mindset that should be us. If you don't have that mindset, you cannot change nothing factually.
What I was saying is that the corporation and the government can drive the consumer market. That is a fact. That is reality. Look at the gas prices. Let me finish. I'll listen to you. Look at the gas prices.
Everything goes on
okay?
the
gas prices can go up and down and fluctuate. But for the most part, people are still going to scrape up that money together to buy their gas to drive. Okay? You get people in a position of being dependent upon something, and you can drive the market up and down as you choose. I'm not saying that the consumer has no power. Definitely, yes, the consumer has the power. But I'm talking about as you go up the ladder and you build bigger and bigger into the corporation, you're getting into areas where they are able to dictate what we do, what we buy, what we see. And you have to understand the significance of that. I want to say to the guy. Wait a minute, I'm almost done. I want to say to the guy, Chris, who called in and talked about the revolutionary and all that. You cannot start a revolution. You cannot build a revolution under government control and having so much oversight that we have now. When you talk about technology, okay, look at the Black Panthers. One of the reasons they were able to get so much attention and get so much, publicity and things like that is because when they came about, it was kind of like a burst of something new, okay? It wasn't about kumbaya. It was about, hey, this is what we're doing. We want our rights now, and we know what we're doing about it. Okay, that happened. It took about a year. It took about a year for the FBI, okay, and CIA, okay, to get people to infiltrate the Black Panther movement. Because at that time, they did not have black agents and things like that in those government agencies, okay? So the Black Panthers were able to get a head start. But what I'm talking about now, I'm almost done. What I'm talking about now, though, is if you're trying to wage a revolution under this technology, that's very difficult to do. Because the government has ultimate oversight.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. The government has ultimate oversight to track you in everything you do. Why do you think so many of these terrorist things and all this stuff just burst up really quickly? Because they know what's going on and they know what we're doing.
No.
You know what? Hold on for a minute. Wait. Hold on. You know, it's amazing to me that the people that cry about, I need time, let me talk, are the main ones interrupting. Stop interrupting people when they're talking. Okay? From now on, when you're through saying what you got to say, say, I'm finished. Okay? So everybody know you're through, and we can continue on with a peaceful conversation. Okay? Thank you for that.
I'm finished.
Limit people to just two minutes, even if they don't say that they're finished or not. That they got a cutoff point of 2 minutes.
If you don't give a clock, it won't be no finish.
But, right. See, what
I'd
like just
say.
To
make a comment now.
Okay.
Bae's got a good point.
Yes, yes, you do. Not listen to him. Okay, hold on, Chris. Hold on.
All right.
What were you saying, Joe?
Make people have a clock. Okay, it's going to be kind of inconvenient, of course, but have a clock. So people, they want to go on for 5-6 minutes, which is normal and natural. That's fine. But if we're going to wait for people to say, I'm finished, it's going to be 5 minutes. How about 2 minutes, and at the end of 2 minutes, regardless of whether they're finished or not,
just shoot them.
That's it.
Just shoot them if they go over 2 minutes.
Okay.
Let me make a quick comment. You know, this is a little off. But, you know, Renee Bass, if you really do a lot of the research on what she says, most of it, a lot of it is just 100% accurate. And I see too many people quick to attack her without really researching what she's saying. I mean, it's sort of like going ahead. When the teacher's up there, nobody's interrupting the teacher saying, hey, mother, you're wrong. But you ain't going to go ahead and present no evidence to go ahead and show you wrong. But just go ahead and say you disagree with her because you disagree with her. That makes you look foolish. And that's to all of the critics, all of y'all, last one of you. Hold on. You number one, Beasley.
Take your cape off, though.
Let me go ahead and tell you.
Take your cape off. Your cape's on too tight.
I see where this going.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead. Okay. All right. We good now. You finished? Yes, you finished. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Now, go ahead, Chris.
I don't want to point no finger. I'm not here to agree or disagree with anybody, you know, or take sides with anybody, you know.
I got you, DJ.
The young lady said that, saying it wrong, please correct me, but you can't start a revolution with technology today. And all I'm simply saying is, yes, you can, because the revolution started on foot and flyers and through word of mouth and through communication in the 60s and 70s. That's what I saw when I was growing up, you know, as far as what young lady mentioned about what the Black Panthers were doing. But to a certain degree, the same people that brought the Black Panthers up are the ones that destroyed them. Also, you know, this is a revolution taking place right now with technology, like I said, with all these
new iPhone 20s coming out with certain apps that only certain selected people are have been selected to only use within the public for free. And all these hologram pictures and computers and these TVs that is like inside cameras looking at you and so on, et cetera, et cetera. This is like also the other guy mentioned, it shouldn't have been called the civil rights movement. It should have been called a human because that's what it is. It was just at that time focused on the black community, what they're doing. But it was really a human rights, human civil rights movement when that's what it really should have been in the first place. And it's been elevated to going into the gay community, going into the Hispanic community. It's always, it's just evolving into something else. And this technology movement is going to go into something else that we can, 20 years from now, say, well, I agree, I disagree. That's about it.
All right. Okay. N2K.
May I stop it? Oh,
no,
sorry.
No, N2K?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, just to comment on Renee's example of the Black Panther Party, a lot of times what we forget is that with the Black Panther Party, Huey Newton, PhD, Angela Davis, PhD, Bobby Seals, ex-Air Force, these were educated people. These were not people who just looked at things and were like, oh, well, this isn't fair. Let's make a change. No, these are people who understood what was going on. They understood the law because mm-hmm. even though they were walking around with assault rifles, they weren't loaded. That's mm-hmm. not against the law. That is in concordance with the law. And what gets lost in revolution, speaking in generality, is that, and like I had made the comment before, most revolutions are not these bloody upheavals that we think of. Most revolutions
right.
start on a level of where people are critically thinking and they're seeing that what goes on around them is completely incongruent with their entire existence. It doesn't even add up. So they devise and design ways in order to combat that. And the reason why, just to sum it up, that I brought up technology being the new religion, like the young brother just said, technology
right.
can be used for revolution as well. You just have to know what tool you're working with. The game is still the
right.
same. The only thing that's changed is the apparatus, the tool. And that's all I wanted to add.
Okay.
What I want to,
and that,
can
I
just say something real quick? Go ahead, Mae.
Well, it's just like I say, they still got the horse and they still got the buggy, but some young people.
What happened?
And then they get mad because it's not that when other people speak of what happened, like the guy was speaking about the past, your past is always going to be your future, regardless of whether you are young or old. You're still going to be looking back at something that happened, just like you talked about the Pink Panther Party. I mean, the party that was destroyed in Philadelphia and blown up. And then
that's
you came up with a different movement
move
after that one, the Black Panther Party. And they came up with another movement. But can't nobody, I mean, some people want to have a movement and just want to be radical with it. Everybody don't want to join radical stuff. And people got movements out there that don't even know that's forming and that has been formed and things are happening, but you're not even opening your ears up to see what it is. You're overlooking it. It's just like I say, when you watch TV and you watch different things, you see something that somebody else didn't see, and you have the opportunity to tell them about it, but then somebody always going to get upset about it because they didn't like what you said about it.
Okay, I wanted to say the government
destroyed
government destroyed the Black Panthers. That's number one.
Everybody
but,
else.
But, you know, what I'm saying about technology when it comes to revolution is, first of all, there is right now too much oversight in that area. Anything you do can be tracked, can be traced, can be found, can be exploited, whatever. It's out there. Once you put it in the internet, and it's gone. It's out there. Anyone can access it, okay? What I'm saying is that not that people cannot use technology
for a revolution, but we also need to have an understanding that we're going to have to be off the grid with a lot of things when it comes to getting the people collectively together. The government can access these things, and they can send something in to bust up any type of grouping together of people who are trying to have a revolution, who are trying to have a movement. Like I made the comparison with the Black Panthers. It took them a little bit to really get someone to infiltrate, because amongst the Black Panthers, they operated amongst people that they knew. They didn't operate with people that they did not know. Okay, so once they were able to get in there, wait, Mays, I didn't interrupt you. Once they were able to get in there, they got in there, and they ended up making it a disaster, okay? And this is what I'm saying. We've got to find ways to go around this, because what happens is we talk about revolution, and that's also important. What revolution are you trying to wage? For what? That's going to dictate a lot of things right there for how you can do it, okay? Now, if you're talking about waging a revolution on something that kind of, you know, more mild and can kind of be for anyone or in general, okay, then maybe you can have some success with that. But when you're talking about revolution for Black people, when you're talking about Black liberation and white supremacy and all these kind of things, oh, you're going to have to do some other things. You're going to have to go off the grid.
So you're a revolutionary?
I sure am.
Are you?
Can I have my 2 minutes?
Can we take a vote?
I want to ask her, what makes you...
Mr. Tom, I have my 2 minutes. I haven't responded. She took 2 minutes. I wanted to respond. I haven't responded to her yet.
Oh, wow. Okay, Michael. Go ahead and respond.
Okay, please. Renee, you confuse me, what you say about technology, and I want to use your whole life to prove you wrong. I don't understand you. Your documentary is a revolution. You're going to use technology in ways to get your movie out there. Technology is a benefit. Right now, 15 years ago, I would not be able to talk to different people around the country like I'm doing at this time. We from different cities, all of us right now at this one location, we can start a revolution. So what you're saying doesn't make sense. Now, let me teach you something about else. I'll say again, the consumer is number one. The people have the power. I'm in sales,
okay.
All right, in customer relations. But let me give you a tactic. You do not walk into no business and let a salesperson that represents the corporation, you do not have the mindset that they have the power. You as a consumer, you have the power. They know you have the power. That's why some of them may lie and give you not guarantee you certain things, right, because they're trying to persuade you, because they know that the consumer has the last choice. You do not give the corporation that much power. You have your spending power. They want your money. They can't control, actually force the money out your pocket. You make that last decision. So I'll say again, us people, we have the power of the bottom line. That must be the mindset for you to have any change. That's all I want to say.
All right. Chris, you got something to say?
I want to take back my remark. Because I was out of line. I'm making a public apology here to ask that young lady what gives her the right to claim to be a revolutionary. And that's not my place to ask at this time. And she feels that way strongly about it. May she continue to be in that state of mind, because it doesn't matter what I think or what people think about her being a revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
It's her actions will show. And what she stands for. So,
there's no revolution without bloodshed. Part of what influenced Huey Newton.
I grew up
part
a
of
lot
what influenced,
with
part of,
revolutionary
sorry,
people and people who say they're revolutionaries. And so
right.
it shows within the action and everything. But you're going to need technology to continue that revolutionary, my sister. So just keep that in mind. I'm sure you do know that. All the Twitter, YouTube, and your cameras, and everything that you're doing in production, as far as I think you said you're going to school. So you're going to need a little bit of technology for your revolution.
Yeah.
Can
right.
I say something real quick?
Go ahead, Mr. Beasley.
Huey Newton was influenced strongly by Miles' Little Red Book, Mao Tse-Tung's Little Red Book. In fact, Mm-hmm. That's how they raised money to buy guns up at UC Berkeley, is they sold the little red book. I think they bought it for 20 cents and they sold it for a dollar.
Absolutely.
He's the, my, that little red book is the foundation of a lot of the Black Panther policies, the community doing for the community.
Right.
But Mao Tse-Tung said revolution comes out of a barrel of a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not willing to bust your gun, you're not ready to, for revolution.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not willing to die or to kill, there won't be revolution. Some of those people that you see in the street in the Ukraine and those people that you've seen in Egypt and those people that you see fighting in Syria mm-hmm. and other places in the world, those are revolutionaries. They're willing to put it all on the line. They go up against the gun.
Yep.
So, you know, you have armchair revolutionaries, and you have pseudo-revolutionaries, and you got people out there on the street organized, busting guns, and willing to kill or be killed to make it happen.
I have a question for Beasley. So
Renee, let me do this real quick. Let me ask this question, though. The thing is right now I feel that there are people out there doing exactly what you're saying, busting guns. Busting, go ahead and popping them off. But the problem is that we don't have a media apparatus telling that side. We have that one strong side telling us, hey, look, these people are bad and they need to be controlled. We need to put more cops and more guns on the streets and sell the bullets and books. We don't have that other side telling nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
So, Beasley, I think you're looking at it from that being an armchair revolutionary. You're not.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second.
That's what you implied,
Beasley.
This has
nothing to do with me. I just said something.
But you stated something from being looking at it from one side, Beasley. Let's be honest and real about it. You stated it from one side. You need to go ahead and see that stuff is out there to go ahead and show you there's people out here doing the things in the street. But you don't see the news stories on these kind of people. Then you'll go ahead and see that, hey, look, this black man got picked up with all these guns. But you might not go ahead and see that, hey, look, he may have that big old picture of Malcolm X in his house and a red, black, and green flag in his house. You may not see that. And then they'll go ahead and slowly tie that to drugs. You got to look at the underlying story here, man.
Hold on for a minute. All right, Renee, go ahead and ask Beasley, and then my co-host is going to say something. Go ahead, Renee.
I wanted to ask Beasley, what is your implication in what you were just speaking about? Because you asked me, am I a revolutionary? I said yes. And then you went into talking about people who are armchair revolutionary and you've got to be willing to bust guns and die and this type of thing. So what is your implication with that?
What do you think my implication is?
What are you implying to me?
You take it how you want to take it.
No, say what you're saying. Say what you're saying. You don't have to take it. I don't have to take it out. I want to take it. Say what you're saying.
You are a smart woman. You make it mean what it means to you. You interpret it the way you want to interpret it.
That's how talking about in circles, Mr. B.
All right, all right.
You're not a revolutionary. If you're really not to kill nobody.
All right, now. All right, go ahead, co-host. Say what you got to say. I don't know what's wrong with them. They just don't hear me.
I just wanted to interject that in response to what Mr. Beasley said about the Egyptians were not revolutionaries. They were reacting to the fact that they were having to spend 70% of their income on food. And that's probably what's going to happen in America, and that's when you're going to see the masses get up and get busy. And I agree with Chef Rob that there are people doing things. I put a link in the chat room. I'm going to put it in there again where there are necessarily all black people. I'm speaking about people in general that are concerned, sincerely concerned about other human beings and what the society seems to be going towards. And the link I put in the chat room is a protest and a takeover of the city council meeting in Albuquerque where they ran all the paid politicians out of their seats and took it over. So one little example. There are people all over the place in the military, in high-up positions, just like those commanders that just got fired, nine of them from Dyess Air Force Base because somebody they knew high up leaked the information about those warheads that were moved from there irregularly and moved to South Carolina. And when Lindsey Graham said if they didn't vote to let them go in and deal with Syria, there would be an explosion, an atomic explosion over South Carolina. There are people in places behind closed doors that are doing things to stop a lot of things that would be happening that we, like they said, can't see. We're not going to see it on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm done this.
Let me answer real quick. You just gave the cause for the revolution in Egypt. Okay? It's still a revolution.
That's all I want.
You just gave the cause. It's still a revolution, and it still fit the parameters of how I defined a revolution, of what it takes to really make a revolution happen when people are really fed up. Those people went out in the street, and they overthrew Mubarak, and then after that, Morsi was overthrown. For whatever the reason is, that's revolution. And, yeah, it's usually economic.
I'm not answering no questions. I didn't ask one.
I don't have to answer any questions. I'm not speaking.
Well,
with
I asked
you,
your question. Isn't that only decent? Isn't that only decent? You asked me and I answered. Correct.
If I choose to act decent, which I can. But I'm under no restrictions to be decent.
Neither am I.
So,
but I respectfully answered you.
Good for you.
I find it strange that
and we happy that you find it strange, and we are very concerned about how much you care.
Hush! Nobody asked you that shit.
Respect your elders and don't do that. That's not nice.
Oh boy. Yeah, you know, I just think that. Okay, go ahead. I'm going to listen. I want to take some more time out.
All right, since there's airspace to be filled up, I like that. What's this talk about revolution about? What's the revolution about right now that everybody's talking about?
All right. Anyway, I'm back now. I'm sorry. I had myself muted. I was making this speech and I was muted. Okay. Look, you know, I've been listening and here's the thing, you know, I muted you so I can make this statement. That's all. I'll unmute you in a minute. Okay. When you come on this show, yes, you will act civil. Yes, you will act like you are an adult, because if you don't, I get rid of you. I just, you stay on mute all day. You know what I mean? So, you know, let's act as adults. You know, if you don't want to answer a question, just say, I respectfully decline, don't want to answer the question, and leave it at that, okay? But to get nasty with it and continue, we don't need all that. We don't. And it's unnecessary. You know, that is an example of why we can't get things accomplished now. You know? Everybody just wants the jaw jack, but nobody's listening to anyone because we have an attitude because we got asked a question we really didn't want to get asked, and we didn't want a dang gone answer. So with that going on, we would never be able to have a revolution. Never because of that. All right? So I'm going to go ahead and open your mics back up, and, you know, y'all go ahead and respond and do what you got to do. All right.
Okay, I want to start. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I want to start with saying I agree. You know, I like what you said, because just by a perfect example, the last 23 minutes of an actual revolution take place and how a conversation of a revolution starts. You have men. That's the first difference. You have men. You have women. Some men don't like the fact that women can be as educated or on an intellectual conversation level as they are.
Don't you see that?
Some women feel like, you know, hey, I'm not going to feel like I have to be subservient to you, sir. I'm not going to listen to that. So there's just so much friction. So see, this is why the technology revolutions take place, because within a push of a button, hey,
things can change just like that. No problem. This is a revolution today. I see is, I don't care if you're black, white, you agree or disagree. We're moving on. Watch the last 5 minutes of the Matrix Revolution. It didn't tell you what's going on. Everybody was talking about, does movies play a big part in what's going on today? I believe it does. Those last 15, 20 minutes of the last final, well, it's not the final, believe it or not, y'all, they're making another one, I heard. But the last one that's out now that you can go look at, it'll show you what's really going on. Nobody won. I ain't going to say it how, but I remember. Yeah, this verbal revolution thing, it ain't working.
And can somebody tell me what's the current revolution?
The technology.
Technology.
Somebody actually answered.
Well, there's a revolution still being fought as we speak. But here's the thing right here, right quick. It's crazy to go ahead and to put real life up against movies and that kind of stuff. Come on, man. It's a group of people who's sitting around in a room, and they're going ahead and deciding how the colors and this and the dialogue.
Right, they dreaming that shit up, right, and it's theory, right.
Let's stop trying to make, fantasy real life. Fantasy is fantasy. That's a real big problem we have. It's science with fiction, right.
They mix it. It's all our science fiction. They mix science with fiction.
All right.
But it happens. They have to use some real science to make it real.
I understand your point, sir, what you're saying. Yeah, try not to. But stay away from the movie.
Stay away from the movie. Hold on,
I understand your point and everything, but sometimes you have to. You just have to look at a movie and go, damn.
See, that's our problem.
The movie.
The problem is people can't think the way they want to without other people getting mad when them thinking the way they want to.
Has anybody seen this?
Okay, wait a minute. There y'all go again. You know, I try and be nice, but damn it. Okay, here we go. We're going to have to do it this way, all right? One at a time. All right, Chef Rob, were you finished with your comments?
Not quite, just a little bit left.
Okay, go ahead.
The thing is that you should go ahead and live your life right now without TV for a week or two, a month, or even a year, so you can go ahead and see reality for what it is. Don't go ahead and let these people who sat in a group in a room go ahead and they want to give you their view of fantasy, and then you eventually put it into reality. Do not do that. This is why this is a bigger reason why we got a lot of problems, because we let somebody else dictate how our tomorrow is going to be. You can't learn from your future until you learn from your past, and you can't make no decisions from present day until you look at yesterday. But if all you're looking at is fantasy, you'll never really know what's going on.
All right. You forgot the magic words.
Please.
No, I'm finished.
I'm finished.
All right. All right. Go ahead, Chris. Your turn.
Now, I want to say, I saw a movie that you all may be familiar with. It looks familiar in my city and all throughout the country. That I see when I turn on the news, called Menace to Society. You know, there were some people that probably sat down, called the Hughes brothers, did the same thing. Want to make this movie as real as possible. They were smoking weed in the movie. It was gunshots. People were getting killed. Everything. If y'all saw that movie, that's real life in that movie, as close as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'm just saying. Sometimes some of these movies are actually, like E.T. and The Muppets. Okay, let's not get too outraged. Okay, The Muppets not real, but there was a movie made after it. But some of this stuff just makes you go, damn, this really, really happened. Technology they use in some of these movies, the violence that's in this world right now, it happens. You know, some of it is real, some of it isn't. I'm not saying every movie we need to go and look at it and say, okay, this is what's really happening. Some people do sit in a room, and you got no difference between real and what's not real. Everything on the screen is not real, but some of it. That's all.
They do that on every movie. They sit in the room.
Okay.
All right.
Wait a minute.
Chris, what's the magic words?
I'm finished.
All right. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. All right, Michael. You were saying something?
Well, first of all, art imitates life. Keyword is imitate. You shouldn't tell your children when you see things on TV like Menace of Society, it's imitating life. It's depicting life. But life should not imitate that art. Now, when we're talking about certain movies, that's called science fiction movies. Science fiction movies, of course, they talk to the top scientists or college professors that are in physics to go over their movies because they want to make it realistic and things of that nature. But they mix their theory in it. Before mankind has to hook up a computer up to a spinal cord, in business and politics, is a whole lot of ethics have to be voted on. People may go to war over that. So let's keep the movie in its realm. Learn something. It has the technology, things of that nature. And, you know, the technology must come first. So I agree. Certain movies are, you know, science fiction. Certain movies depict life. And even when stories are based on a true story, that's just the basis. That doesn't mean everything that you see in that movie actually happened in the real world. It's just based on a true story or actual events. So when you talk to your kids and talk to, I mean, anybody, you know, you just, you know, art imitates life. You should not imitate art. That's all I want to say.
I want to say something.
Go ahead.
Michael.
He's still a listener.
Okay.
Oh, what's the magic words, Mike? Hold on. What's the magic words,
finished.
Mike? Okay. Thank
I'm
you.
Finished. Well, no, I'm sorry. That's all I have to say. That's why I like to use.
You still had to say something. All right. Go ahead, Renee.
I just want to say, you know, that when, you know, as far as the revolutionary talk or whatever, you know, as black people, some of us, some black people, we tend to have this thing where you think you know it all. You think you know everything. You think this, you think that. And, you know, I've been told that by someone on this line right now. They know who they are. And, you know, I think that's a big problem with us is that we are aware of what's going on around us, but we really don't want people to talk about it. We really don't want to bring it out in the open and deal with it. We tend to like to, some of us tend to like to sweep things under the rug and close the closet door, you know, and all that kind of stuff. We want to try to pretend. So when you talk about something and it's something that you know about, I tend to not speak on things unless I know about it. I just don't like to do that. So if I'm not saying a lot about something, it's because I don't know about it. If I do know about something, I'm going to speak on it, and I'm going to put my knowledge or information or my opinion out there. You don't have to like it. You don't have to accept it for fact. You can dispute it as much as you want to. But that's what I'm going to do. And I think that as black women, we need to start opening our minds to learn more things about our community. We have a very important role in the black community, seeing as black women are mostly the head of households right now. And we have to do more. We have to do better. And, you know, that's pretty much where I stand on this. When it comes to the TV thing and all that, about 3 or 4 months now, I have stopped watching TV. Since I stopped watching TV, my clarity of mind is so much better. Because when you're constantly inundated with, you know, all this commercialized BS, you know, that's telling you what you should do, how you should think, you can't clearly think. You can't put 1 + 1 together because you're too busy thinking about the new this or the new that or what, oh, what did she do? Oh, what she said to him? You know, all that kind of stuff. So that's something I had to do was to stop watching TV and to start researching, looking into things, and learning and absorbing things. So whatever anybody has to say about me, that's fine, you know, but I'm going to still give my opinion, whether they like it or not.
Finished?
Okay.
I'm finished.
Nope. Can I speak?
Okay. No, you can't. Hold on. I'm bringing Mr. Solution in. All right. Welcome to the show, Mr. Solution.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Hello, everyone. Yeah, I'm for a revolution. I want a revolution against these worthless web browsers. I would like to know what is the best web browser, one that won't crash, one that will, you know, stay in operation. But look here, there was a, and I'm serious about that, by the way, there is a...
what operating system are you running?
You have a Mac or... Windows.
That doesn't matter. Okay.
No, I have one. If I want to,
It actually does matter, sir.
Yeah, I have a web browser you want to try, and if you are trying,
okay.
Because
you know, hold on, wait a minute. I can solve this. Okay, there y'all go. Y'all talk about it in the green room. All right, you can come on. You will not come on here talking about no web browsing.
That's too funny. Oh, Mr. Tom, tomorrow I'm going to have to put this
Your time is up, Renee. Somebody else got to speak.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Maze, hold on.
Be nice
okay,
to
what
me,
you,
Mr. Talk.
What were you saying, Renee?
No, I was just going to say tomorrow I'm going to put this link up in your chat room. That something y'all just got to see. I'll put it up tomorrow. But
all right. But,
see it.
Well, send it to my email first so I can look at it. All right. Go ahead, Maze.
Well, it's saying like sometimes when people have their opinions, they should have it, have their opinion, and everybody else have their opinion. If they don't agree with it, just let it be. Because everybody is not going to agree at no time. And some people don't like, you know, they've been places, know people that do things, and sometimes you're wrong with your opinion, but you don't like to hear it. Some people are wrong with their opinions because they know people. They work in different places and do different things, and some things some people are saying are not really fact. So if you try to bring them the truth, sometimes the truth you don't want to hear. Some people. But with me, I don't like to talk about people. I like to talk to people. When they don't like what I'm saying, or if they like what I'm saying, and if they don't agree with me, you see, what you need to do is let some stress busters, because a lot of people got stress that they need to let out against each other, and they hold it and they can't get it out. And it just holds on like a bouncing ball until you can release it. And that's just how it goes. Because I'm not jealous of nobody. I'm not envious of nobody. I just like to talk to people. And if I don't like what they're saying, and I don't get the opportunity to give my expression of what they say it, and if they get mad, just so be it. And if I say something that they don't like, and they tell me, I'm just going to let it go. I'm not going to just let it ride.
Really?
And it's not a competition show. You're supposed to be having a conversation, not a competition.
Really?
Yes, that's how it goes. But the whole sometimes protect people from some things that they say and the other person can't get a response. Now, I'm just telling the truth. Finish.
Oh, okay. Magic word. All right.
That is the truth. But for the most part, he's fair. But he has his people that he prefers a bit. But he tries to be fair. I don't even know if he's aware of the people that he coddles a bit, but it's cool.
Really?
It's his.
Okay, let's see here. We have some more people with their hands up. Chef Rob, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm still here.
Did you have some parting words that you'd like to share? It's nice to hear you, by the way.
Thanks. I've been busy working and stuff, taking care of. No. It's been interesting. It's been fun. You know, I enjoy myself.
Pardon me?
Okay. It's been interesting and fun. You know, I enjoy myself. I don't have anything to say.
Yes, it has been a nice being back with Mr. Talk. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next person. Okay. We're about to run out of time. Okay, Chris, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Would you like to say some parting words?
Yes, I'd like to say a few parting words as far as the whole entire aspect of what everyone's talking about as far as the revolution. The guy who was reading the book that the Black Panthers was selling for 50 cents, and buying it for 50 cents, selling it for $1, and there was a statement in there about the only way to start a revolution, if you're real with it, something like that, is to pick up your gun and go to the streets and start bloodshed. But at that time, that might have been the case during that era, at that thinking. But before that, the revolution before his thinking wasn't working, so it just went to another level. In my opinion, I think one of the greatest revolutionaries in history is Jesus. He was a revolutionary without picking up a gun or anything.
Today, look how it worked out for him.
Before his statement in that book, right. So the level of a revolution today is changing and evolving from thinking of that book, from Jesus, and now it's into the technology. And today's revolutionaries is just like that young woman who was on this phone. She's a mother. She's, I'm assuming that she's a head of household mother. You know, men who are fathers, who are leaders. Those are the revolutionaries that, in my eyesight today, and made the revolution continue. My phone is dying out, and bless you all, and have a safe day, everyone.
Well, thank you very much, Chris, for your input. Okay, let me see. Who's N2K, did you have something to say?
No, I'm just listening.
All right. Let me see. We got Chris. And we have Chef Rob has already spoken. Michael, would you like to have some parting words?
Yeah, I just want to say, Renee, if you're listening, you got to start a business. The consumer, the customer, makes and break your business. That's just a fact. When you start a product, you have to look at your target customers. Once again, when you go for sales pitches, you have to think about your customer. You have to think, if you're a business owner talking to other business owners, it's certain lingo that you have to deal with, and it's still a customer. So in business, customers are the very essence of your whole business. The service, you are in the service. So when you're servicing somebody, when they're wrong, they're right in some cases. And I just want to say this. When we talk about a revolutionary, I think mankind, if two men or women or community can come together and compromise and dialogue about their problems or take a vote instead of killing each other to have a revolution, I think that's the proper way, and I think that's the more intelligent way to go. Killing each other and going to war, that's stupid for humans to solve their problems. And, you know, we teach our children, you want to go out and fight or, you know, talk it out. So, unfortunately, life is not perfect, and it is what it is sometimes. So I think that's what we should try to strive for. That's all I want to say. That's it.
Well, thank you, Michael. I think those are very good points, and we do forget sometimes that the definition of the word revolutionary doesn't always mean killing. It means, you know, a renewing of your mind. So those are very good points. Thank you very much. Okay, let's see here. Renee, do you have some parting words? Perhaps she stepped away. One more time. Renee, would you like some parting words?
Oh, I'm back.
You muted me.
Oh, I'm. You were open. Sorry, dear. Sorry. There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Eric, you're back, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to say, as far as to Michael, I'm not saying that the customer is not right or you don't, you know, in a way, pander to your customer. What I'm saying is that when it comes to corporations and it comes to the government, okay, they can drive the consumer market. That is a fact. It just is what it is, based upon scarcity of resources and all other kind of issues. So, import, export, whatever. But when you go to the business level, absolutely. You know, if you go to a restaurant, you know, the restaurant should be trying to accommodate you as a customer. I'm talking about in a broader term. That's what I'm speaking on.
Besides that, no, not much else to say. You know, it's Mr. Talk's show, so he can do what he chooses. If people don't like his style or like whatever, then they can always choose to not listen or call in. We're all adults here, so to say, oh, this person is their favorite or that or that, even if it is, so what? We all have a choice to be here or not. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. You are welcome. All right. I see. Oh, when Daddy left, the kids wanted to play. I see. Go ahead, Joe. Your final words.
I got a suggestion. How about, because sometimes I think people are left out of responding to other people's remarks, maybe in the future you might want to have a debate between certain parties. You know, it could be two on one side, two on another side, one on one side, one on the other side, so that people can actually voice their opinion, get a response, and then have a response to the response.
That sounds great, Joe. That sounds great. But y'all wouldn't act right, but go ahead.
All right, because, you know, otherwise, you know, we could have the chaos that we have been engaged in. But, you know, I think maybe to do it on a regulated basis where you're the referee, you know, could be interesting.
Okay. I take that under advisement.
Okay.
All right. You through?
Yep. Oh, forgot. Sorry. Magic words. I'm through.
Okay. Now, before we get out here, we're going to let Mr. Solutions get his words in also. All right, Mr. Solutions, you got the floor. Mr. Solution, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here. Yeah, as I was telling you, thank you, in when I was in the green room, I monitored the show from day to day. You know, Seinfeld was the greatest comedy ever, and it was a show about nothing, as stated. That was the definition of the show. But I think economics impacts every one of us to a greater or lesser degree. And I think that's the 500-pound elephant or elephant in the room. That's the pink elephant in the room. I mentioned to you a show done on the NBA, or I'm sorry, athletes, period, NBA, NFL, so on and so forth. And it's called, it's ESPN. It's called Broke. And I would just say to you, looking at the escalation of prices every day, there are a lot of broke people on this line right now. As soon as they get off the line, a debt collector is going to be calling them. Probably already has left messages. So I would say that's the greatest subject confronting each one of us that most of us have our heads in the sand regarding. And I ask you about Dr. Anderson appearing on the show, and he's an economist. He talks about, and a historian. He talks about this subject extensively. And I would just say a more worthwhile investment of time is to discuss economics, personal economics. And by the way, it was said that it is the consumer that has the power. That is not true. That is not true. It's been said it's not what we don't know that trips us up. It's what we know that ain't so. It is the producer that has the power, not the consumer. The consumer and most of what's consumed is debt purchased anyway. So those are just a few of the insights that I have, and that economics should be the name of the game. That's what America is all about, capitalism. Look at when you go to the service station, there's nothing more visible than the price of gasoline and diesel fuel. You pay for that too because everything is shipped in by diesel pretty much. And so those would make some great subjects because there's not a thing in our lives that money doesn't touch, and it touches it very, very distinctively. What do you think?
All right. Well, I think you made a good point. And as I'm reading this, somebody said capitalism has died. Communism is here now. Okay. All right.
Oh, one thing, Eric, am I still on?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I am, yes. I'm not for a revolution. Everything is fine. I mean, I am revolting against the web browsers, though, and I think I've been given some good suggestions. But a revolution is fruitless unless you have money. An army travels on its stomach. If you're going to fight an actual war, you need money. You can't fight a war broke. That's crazy. But at any rate, I think the idea of actual and armed war is crazy. You don't need that. There's plenty of opportunity in America. Seize it. Take it. Go out there and get it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Solutions. And you have a great day. And let's see. Oh, man, this has been a very enlightening conversation today. I love it. co-host, you up?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay. Well, your final words?
Me?
Yes, I can. Your final words?
Oh, yes, I would just like to thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. You always have a great show, Mr. Talk, and you're a gentleman, and I appreciate you very much.
Oh, you got a dog in the background barking.
Yeah, I think it's a bird or something down a little ways far. I'm sitting right in front of a window, and the window's open.
Oh, okay.
I think it's kind of bird. Sorry about
okay.
that.
That's okay. My supersonic hearing
called
in.
There's a lot of nature. A lot of nature, and I just love it.
All right. That's a great thing. Well, we do appreciate having you on as a guest, co-host, and we'll see you shortly, all right?
All right.
All right. All right, y'all. That's about it. You know, I don't have any final words. You know, I think all that's been said, that's going to be said. For today, anyway. So I want to thank Joe, Mays, Beasley, N2K, Self Rob, Mr. Solution, Michael. You know, thank y'all for your contributions to the conversation today. All right. Well, that's been it. That's it for me, y'all. Remember, tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific time. Also, remember, if you got any comments, send them to ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or you can send them to Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. Or you can just follow me on the page. Just hit click follow, and I'll be made aware that you're now following Let's Talk with Mr. Talk. All right? Okay, but until tomorrow, y'all have a great remember to always smile. You know, if you just talk to one person, if you just speak to one person during the run of a day, that means you've met one new person. And you never know. That may be your network that you need to get some things accomplished. It's amazing how that works. You know, keep smiling. Show appreciation. You know, forgive with an open heart, but make sure you're forgiving yourself first. And my biggest and best thing, like I always like to say, make sure you're able to laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, man, you'd be surprised how much easier to get around some things. All right? Well, y'all have a good one. We're going to go out of here with some Mo Bella blues. And y'all have a good one. Till tomorrow, I'm out.
Bye-bye.